Well, if you'll take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for the third week in a row. We are in the same area. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 through 17. And this is the third part of our study, No Fooling. Three things that those who walk in wisdom know. They know His life principles, which is verse 15. They know His limited privileges, verse 16. And they know the Lord's purposes, and that's verse 17. So let's read that together. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and ask you to continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, and allow your word to come alive in us. I pray your Holy Spirit will bring clarity and illumination. I pray, Father, that we will keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, you are great. You are awesome. You are mighty. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and all that you continue to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 15 says, be very careful, therefore, or then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful. See, our time here on this earth really is short. Although you may have lived 30, 40, 50, 60, even I visited with a lady this last week. She's 95. And she said she's got two older siblings. One's 101, one's 104. And I'm going like, wow, how many kids were there? And she said there were 11 of us. 10 of them were girls. And I was just interesting learning about some people like that. But I mean, even in the length of life that she's lived already, 95 years, she knows that this time is limited. Her time is short. And so it's interesting. We need to remember that the time we have been given from God is our gift. And what we do with that time is really our gift back to Him. So Paul says, be very careful. Because time is precious, you know, you can't get time back. Once you spend that time, it's gone. I wish sometimes I could rewind. I wish sometimes I could go back and change things. I wish sometimes that I would have that time again with somebody in particular or whatever. But once time is there, it's gone. So it's very precious, and we ought to make sure that every bit of time that God gives us, we use it for His glory. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Why do you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes." And quite honestly, you know, I used to think when I was a little kid, my granddad was stinking old. I used to think he was really old. Well, at the time, he was about 60. Now I realize he wasn't all that old. And I, you know, time flies. It goes by quickly. And we don't have that much time that is allotted to us. Every person, there is a set time. There's a time to live and a time to die. God's already put it in a place. So what we do have, we have to be careful. In fact, Paul uses that word, be very careful. It's the Greek word, akabios, which means be accurate. In other words, don't just walk around not knowing what you're going to do. Don't just walk around not expecting anything or whatever. It's kind of like a lot of times we just walk through a dark room. And if you walk through a dark room, sooner or later you're going to hit your shin on something. But he's saying, no, be careful. Know exactly what it is that God is saying to you, and then go through that. Psalm 39, verse 4 says, show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting my life is. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I don't need to know how fleeting my life is. I want to think that I'm going to live a long time. We don't know how long we're going to live. We do know that if we're alive today, we're alive. And God's allowed us to be here today. God is allowing us to hear His Word. God is allowing us to think about these things. And if God gives you tomorrow, which I pray that He will, if He gives you tomorrow, be very wise. Be careful. Be very wise is the second thing. It means to understand or to discern the times. Sunites is the Greek word. And it means our perspective has got to be different. We can't just look at things the way everybody else looks at things. That's what the world does. And in fact, there's so many people bombarding you with messages from TV trying to tell you this is the way things are. Trying to program you into believing certain things that were just in a particular way. Listen, folks, we have to be understanding. We have to be discerning. We have to look at things and understand them from God's perspective. Perspective is everything. If you're in the very midst of something that's going on and there's so much activity and whatever, you might not be able to see it from perspective, but from God's perspective, He sees everything. Do you suppose that God sees things we don't? Do you think God sees things that we don't? Of course He does. So why wouldn't we ask of Him, Lord, what's going on in this situation? What's happening with this person? What is it that I need to do to be useful in Your hands in that person's life? And Lord, show me that so that I can do it. That's being wise. Otherwise, you just walk around, whatever happens, happens. I don't know what's up next, but I just go around. No, you have no purpose, no direction. It's kind of like the guy who was out in his backyard and he was wanting to learn to be a marksman, archer. And so he had gotten his bow and all the arrows and all those things, and he'd pull one out of his quill and he'd put it up there and he'd shoot. And he'd hit the back fence and then he'd walk over there and he'd draw some circles around it and say, "Hey, I hit the bullseye." A lot of people just do that. They don't know where they're going. They don't have any focus. They just go. And whatever happens, happens. I've heard people say that, "Hey, man, whatever happens, happens." Well, are you just going to be something that floats in the river of life and whatever happens, happens? You run into the wall or go over a waterfall? Or do you want to be wise and realize that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? And so to realize that, you have to see things from God's perspective. That's called wisdom. Our time here is short. Verse 15 reminds us of that. Our time here is sacred, by the way. Verse 16 says it like this. He says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We can be either a time stealer or a time wrecker. What I mean by that is, do we take the time or look at time wisely, or do we waste time foolishly? We have time stealers in our life, and one of them is the devil himself. He's a thief. He's always looking for ways to steal our time. Why? Because he knows that if he gets us off course, our days are just wasted. And he also knows that his days are numbered. So he's a thief. He's always been a thief. He will always be a thief. And he will throw things into your path to try to distract you, to try to redirect you, to try to get your mind off of what God has put your mind on. And so he's not going to quit. He's not going to stop until the day he's thrown into the pit. But he is a thief. He's a time stealer. And you know what? Let me just put it this way. You can get so involved in something that's actually fun and exciting or whatever else, but at the end of the day, you've spent your whole time doing that. But what have you accomplished for the kingdom of God? I like to play golf. I don't get to play that much any longer because I got a messed up ankle. But I like playing golf. But I can't go out there every single day like a lot of people do, and they play every day. I mean, and it's, they spend half of their day playing golf. And, I mean, it's good exercise if you walk, and it's, I understand that. And it is fun, but a half of every day you spend doing that, when there could be a lot more things that God might have for you to do. Although you can talk about God on the golf course, but most of the golfers I've heard to talk about God weren't in good situation. They just use His name in vain. The devil's a thief. You know, folks, there's multiple ways to waste time. You can, I'm guilty of this sometimes. I'll start looking through things on the internet. You know, stories that come across or whatever, and I'll start reading those, and then I'll listen to somebody talk about it. And before long, I look down and go, whoa, wait a minute. There's went 20 minutes of my time. And I usually end up being frustrated over everything I just heard. I don't need that. What I need is to be in the presence of God. If I spent that same 20 minutes in God's Word and in prayer and in listening to Him, I'd feel totally different. And it's because I have to be wise with my time. The devil is a thief, and he wants to steal your time. And he wants to not only steal it, he's a time wrecker. Busyness. Folks, we are the busiest generation ever. There's never been a generation as busy as our generation is. We've always got something to do. Always. And if we don't have something to do, we don't know what to do. I mean, we've got to have something to do. But what we end up doing is just getting so tired, we're of no use to anyone, not even to the Lord. Sometimes we just need to slow down. And look at the things that you've scheduled, and look at the things that you have on your so-called to-do list, and say, that's a to-don't list today. My to-do list is to spend time with God. Does He deserve that? Absolutely. You'll find out that busyness leads you farther away from God than just spending time with Him. Even doing good things, there are people that, man, they do good things for people all the time. But they're so busy doing these good things that they're missing the time that they need personally with the Lord. They're consumed with doing things. And they just can't slow down. They feel like if they slow down, then they're not doing something. Well, guess what? If you slow down and spend time with God, you are doing something more important than any of the other things you've been involved in. Luke chapter 10. Verses 40 through 42 says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" What had Mary done? She'd spent time with Jesus. "Yeah, but she's not helping me in the kitchen." Guess what? She's spending time with me. You could do that too. You know what? There'll always be time to fix some food. How about spending some time with the Lord today? The days Paul goes on to say, "Because the days are evil." Would you say that there are more distractions and temptations today than 50 years ago? I would. Although I realize that every generation has got things that distract them and that are temptations to them. I understand that. But we live in such a bombarded time of the media and the internet and everything else. And there are so many distractions and temptations. Things that we have to make sure that we keep our children from being so involved in. But it just amazes me even now that I see 8- and 9-year-old kids walking around with their phone in their hand, you know, looking at Instagram and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, What about their childhood? What about their opportunity to grow up and listen to good things rather than just, you know, talking about people online and all the stuff that they're doing? It's just amazing to me. And we've got to make sure that we're using the time that God has given us wisely. And if we are parents or grandparents or whatever, we also have to put on us the responsibility of making sure that our children and our children's children are using the time wisely. He goes on to say to make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. The word is panopai, which means the opposite of good or blessed. In other words, every day that is given to each person, that day is going to be evil and not good unless we are spending it in the presence of God. Our focus is typically on temporal things rather than eternal things. Listen, folks, we all get caught up in that, because what we do is we get up and we look at the day and we think, okay, so I've got to go do this today. I've got to pick so-and-so up. I've got to get the grocery. And we have this list in our mind of all the things that we got to get done today. But who put that list in our mind? Did God put that list in our mind? No. There are things that we thought were really, really important. And I wonder how many times we could set our list down beside the list that God had in store for us and look at those and go, wow, this list is not anything like what God's list was for me today. Because we have the tendency to look at things that are temporal, not eternal. God looks at things that are eternal continuously. You see, when you see a person, you're looking at a person who has the opportunity to spend eternity in the presence of God or eternity in the place called hell. Every person you meet, every person you see, our focus has got to be on things that are eternal. He goes on to basically tell us that a lot of times we are overbooked with commitments. How about you? I am. Sometimes I get so committed to so many different things. It seems like I don't have any time to spend with God. Some people are overrun with possessions. Man, they just can't get enough. And they spend years buying things that won't last. Some people are overloaded with work. Man, I got to go to work. I got to stay at work. I got to work overtime. I got to work. And that's all they do is they work. But if you work all the time, where's the time that you're going to spend with God? In fact, I believe that we're a generation that works harder and get less done. Because it's just too much. And we get overloaded. And it's too hard. And people get burned out. And they quit. And they give up. We also live in a time of information overload. Folks, there's so much information out there. And we don't, unless you're super discerning, you don't know if it's true or false. Or somebody made it up. Or, you know, they were there and saw it. Or whatever. It's just every single place you turn, there seems to be somebody that they call them the talking heads, that just continue to tell you what's going on and what they think. And you can get frustrated out of your mind listening to all these different people argue about different things in this world. Folks, that's not what God had intended for life. He's intended for us to have a real and abundant life. And letting all this information overload continually bombard you is not helping you spend quality time with God and learning from Him. Wouldn't you rather learn from Him rather than CNN? Or, I mean, wouldn't you rather learn from Him? And then there are the folks that are just basically entertainment junkies. Man, I mean, I just got to be entertained all the time. And so, man, I'm going to play games online. I'm going to watch movies. They never spend time other than being entertained. They just got to be entertained. Entertain me. The days we're living in are evil. There's no doubt about it. We get on down to verse 17. Our time here is set. In fact, Solomon said it. We all have a time to be born and a time to die. It's set before we're even born. God knows when we're going to be born. He knows when we're going to die. But God has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. Look at what verse 17 says. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is God's will? His priority is people. He created people so that we could know Him. His priority is the people that live near you. His priority is the people that are in your family. His priority are the people that you work with. His priority are people that you may see every once in a while and know their names, but they're a priority to Him. His priority is that people come to know Him as Savior and Lord. And so we need to reach out to the lost at any cost. You know, I believe one of the reasons we don't is because of what we just went through in that last section. We're overbooked. We're overrun with possessions. We're overloaded with work. We have information overload, and we are entertainment junkies. That's basically the culture of our nation. And that's why we're not reaching people. God has a purpose for us. It's those people to reach them. And the way you do that is focus on the prize. Those people are the prize. They're not the enemy. They're not just lost people. They're the prize. They are the same people that Jesus died for as for us. He has a purpose for us. And He has a plan as well. His plan is for us to not be foolish or unwise. That means seeing things from our own perspective. The two greatest enemies of our time, the time usage that we have each day that God gives us, is the regrets over the past, things that we can't really change, or worries about the future. These are the two greatest enemies of our time. Folks, someone wisely told me, there's only two things you can worry about, things that you can change and things you can't. The things you can change, change them. If you can't change them, why worry about it? It won't help. We can't have any regrets anymore over the past, but if there's something we can do to mend a relationship, we ought to do it. And we don't know that we'll have tomorrow. We're not promised that. But we do know this, that God will be with us and He will direct us if we will but follow Him. Franklin Graham made this statement. I just thought it was apropos. It says, life happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. We need to let life, real life, happen in us. Even though we might be doing something else, every single person we meet, every opportunity that we have, we need to turn it into opportunities to use our time for the goodness and for the glory of God. And that's what He's calling us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, it's true. It's always true. It's always right. It's always just. And Lord, it tells us to be wise and not unwise. And so, Lord, I pray that I will be a person of wisdom. Lord, not of anything I could do on my own. In fact, many times I feel quite foolish. But it's when I think of the temporal things around me, and when I'm self-centered or I'm selfish or whatever, Lord, I want to keep my eyes fixed on You, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Lord, I want to live as a wise person. Help me do that, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.
My battery's made it all the way through this time.
It's good that way.